Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible if you will to the book. Let's see. Hang on a minute. I gotta get my notes. I forgot where my original text. 1 Corinthians. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I got a bunch of scriptures we're going to be looking at today, but we're going to start with this one as my initial text. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just 2 verses to get us started with. By the way, appreciate each of you being in the house of God, and I appreciate what I've heard so far about how Brother Smith did Wednesday. I heard he did a good job, and there's a good crowd here, and we're grateful for that and appreciate him coming and filling in for us and helping us out. And that's a blessing. Amen. We enjoyed the meeting down there in Arkansas. We had a good meeting, good preaching all the way through, good fellowship. And everything seemed to be going good, and even good, seemed like a lot of people getting some help. And so we appreciate that and just thank God for all his blessings. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Second chapter of 1 Corinthians. All right. Verse number 9 is where I'm going to start. Read verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We'll stop there with that for the moment. We'll be looking at other verses. Let's pray together, ask God to bless the reading of his word and use it for his glory and his honor. Brother Timothy, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate that prayer. The past two Sundays, I've preached on eternity, talked about eternity. I talked about the future, man's future eternity. I think it's what I talked about in the first one. I talked about some principles, 6 foundational principles regarding man's future eternity. And then I preached a message entitled Focusing on Eternity. Today I want to preach on eternity in glory. And I want to just focus on heaven if I can this morning. And I think that's appropriate. Amen. A lot of times we hear a lot of messages on hell or messages directed. And matter of fact, the messages I preach about eternity, you end up dealing with hell because you want to keep people out of hell. Right? But I don't think we think enough about heaven. We ought to be a little bit more heavenly minded. Amen. People talk about, well, he's so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly good. I've never met anybody that way. I met a whole lot of them too worldly minded to be of any heavenly good. Right. But we need to be thinking about heaven and looking towards heaven. Matter of fact, if you'll study history, you'll find out in times of hardship, people think about heaven more. Right. They get to thinking about grateful that this world's not their home. Amen. Grateful that we got a better home. But when things are going pretty good, we just forget about it and enjoy living. And it should not be that way. Amen. As James said, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. And so I want to think about heaven this morning. Let me just mention about those things, those 6 foundational principles. And I hope that they'll be helpful as I rehearse them in my mind. They're helpful to me. Number 1, man consists of body, soul, and spirit. Man is a trinity like God is a trinity because he's made by God in the image of God. Secondly, mankind is mortal and subject to death. Thirdly, the soul of mankind is immortal and will live forever somewhere. Number 4, there will be a resurrection and reunion of the body and the soul to stand in judgment. Number 5, the saved will live with Jesus and reign with him based on the rewards they receive at the judgment seat of Christ. And again, when I say that, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying they go to heaven based on rewards. Heaven's not a reward. Heaven's by grace. But your position in the kingdom, your position in the millennial, at least, is based on rewards. Right? Number 6, the unsaved will be judged by the Lord Jesus and will be cast into the eternal lake of fire to be tormented, again, based upon the deeds done in their body and those levels of punishment that I believe would be reckoned there. Then, after I preached that message on those six foundational principles, I preached about things that are eternal in 2 Corinthians. That's why I had in my mind, I had 2 Corinthians in my mind. I knew that wasn't right. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I talked about where Paul goes through that thing that these light afflictions are but for a moment. And he goes on talking about a far more exceeding glory. But he talks about focusing on those things which are eternal. And I preached on focusing on eternity. And I mentioned, I just had 2 points in that particular message. And today's will be mainly two points that I want to look at if I can as well. But the first point that I talked about last week is that we live in a world where everything is temporal and is passing away. Everything. There's nothing forever. Amen. Then, number two, we're all going towards a world where everything is eternal. Either heaven or hell, both are eternal. There's no getting out of the lake of fire. There's no end to the glories of heaven. And that's what we looked at. So today, I want to continue thinking about that a little bit, if I can. But thinking about eternity in glory is really what I want to deal with. And when we think about heaven, we think about heaven as a wonderful place of joy and peace and love. But when we think about hell, it's right the opposite. It's a horrible place of suffering and torments and anguish and pain and weeping and on and on and on we could go. But I want to think about, if I can, this about heaven. Now, I use this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. They never quoted verse 2. When I was a boy growing up, verse 9 was a common statement that people would make when they'd make about heaven. This is what they'd say. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is what they were saying about that. They were saying, heaven is so wonderful, we don't even know the half of it. It's not even entered into our mind. That's wonderful. But the next verse says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. If you want to know about heaven, let me just give this little plug here. If you want to know about heaven, don't read the books these people write that say they died and went to heaven and come back writing books. Read the official book about heaven. Heaven's official guidebook. Amen. That's what you need to read. Amen. You don't need to go off in some kind of seance or go off into just looking for things that are actually not of God. Amen. A lot of times this devil's involved in some of that. Amen. And so you get off in that whole realm of trying to find knowledge outside of God and outside of God's book. You can get in a lot of trouble. Amen. But I do believe this. I do believe that humanly we cannot comprehend the joys of heaven. And yet God wants us to know something about it. Amen. Now, I've got several verses. I'll have us turn to some, but there's a lot of them we won't have to turn. In John chapter number 14, Jesus said this in verses 2 and 3. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So heaven is wherever Jesus is. Right. We'll be with him throughout eternity, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible said? We're going to be with the Lord, and being with the Lord, we'll be heaven. I believe we can honestly say on the other flip side of that, to be away from the Lord would be hell. One of the problems of hell is that God is nowhere to be found. They can't get to God. They can't find God. But we're going to be with the Lord in heaven. Amen. So Jesus talked about many mansions. And when I think about that, he's talking about that world of the redeemed. That life that is after this life. And as he's talking about those things, he uses marvelous words like mansions. That says something to us, right? We have an imagination that can pick up on that word picture. A mansion means something. But he don't just say mansion. He said many mansions. Amen. And he said he's going to prepare a place for us, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the most marvelous thing about heaven. Amen. So I said I've got two points that I want to say. A lot of things could be said about heaven, and I don't have the time or the capacity to deal with all of them. But let me just skim the surface if I can and mention two very important aspects about the heavenly glory that is reserved for the redeemed. Number one, in heaven, we will not only be with Jesus, but we'll be like Him. Amen. In my introduction, I laid out the fact that wherever Jesus is would be heaven. But what will be so great about being with Him is that we will be like Him. Amen. And we all know 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I'm sure you know that verse by heart. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. We're going to be like Jesus one of these days. That's the goal of Christianity, by the way. The goal of God didn't save us just to keep us out of hell. He saved us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Now, what the Bible said? Right, I've got that written down here a little bit later on anyway, Romans 8, 29. His goal, His plan is for us to be like Jesus. That's what the name Christian means, by the way. Christ-like is what it means. They're like Christ, and that's what ought to be our goal as well. Now, when we say that we're going to be like Him in glory, that doesn't mean we're going to be equal with Him in glory. Oh no, He'll still outshine them all. Amen. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And that's what the Bible says as well. He is the greatest of all. And so He's going to bring His people in and we will be like Him, even though we'll not be as great as Him. Amen. But we won't even be aiming at who's going to be the greatest in glory. That won't be, that's what the disciples were arguing about, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus is going to be the greatest. That's who's going to be the greatest. And by the way, He kept dropping them hints. He said, whoever wants to be the greatest, going to have to be the servant of all. Who was that? That was Him. Amen. He died for us all. Amen. So the Apostle Paul talks about this longing in the heart of man. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter number 8. I mentioned Romans 8:29. We'll look at that while we're there, but I'm going to go back a little bit as well. Romans 8, look at verse 29. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So He wants us to be like Him. Now jump back to verse number 18. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what he's talking about? The earnest expectation. The saved person is longing for heaven. Amen. We used to sing songs like that. I'm homesick for heaven. I'm ready to go. I've been waiting, Lord, to go. Songs like that. Amen. Verse number 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're longing for that glorified body. Amen. I wonder sometimes if God doesn't allow this body to decay so that we'll start longing for a better body. So we'll look forward to that glorified body that is, that we'll receive in glory. Amen. Amen. So he's talking about we're longing. Saved people are longing. But he said not only saved people. He said all creation's groaning. All creation. Why? Because the thorns and thistles and all that that's on the earth because of the flood. I mean, because of the curse. The curse that came as Adam and Eve sinned and God pronounced the curse over the whole earth. The ground was cursed for Adam's sake. That ground don't want to be cursed. And it's looking for the day when the curse will be lifted. Amen. And one of these days it will. Amen. So Paul said all of creation is groaning. We're groaning for that. The psalmist David groaned for it. He dreamed about the day that he would arise, be raised from the dead, and would see the Lord. I'll just read you this, Psalm 17, verse 15. Here's what David said. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David wanted to be more like God. Amen. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you're in Romans, it won't be too far over. Philippians chapter 3. Paul encouraged these saints at Philippi with this goal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. It doesn't mean we're talking in heaven. It says that's where we want to be. That's where our life is. Our conversation is in heaven. For from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You know what Paul said there? He said, we're longing for a better body. We're longing for when this body's laid down and we get a glorified body in heaven. Amen. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Jesus comes to claim His own, both the living and the dead will receive a glorious body like unto His glorious body. 1 Corinthians 15 is that great resurrection chapter, verses 51. Look with me there, 51 through 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. By the way, I saw that on a nursery door one time at a church. They put that up there. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. But this is not talking about going to the nursery. This is talking about sleeping in death. We may not all die, but we're all going to glory if we're saved by the grace of God. Some people are going to get to escape death, be called out in the rapture. Right? And we'll be changed, every one of us, whether you're saved or, whether you're alive or dead, you're going to be changed. Let me go back there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So he's talking about the dead being raised, and we that are alive, be changed as well. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. I say hallelujah right there. Amen. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The grave don't have the victory. We got the victory. Amen. Death's not the conqueror. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. And so he's talking about the fact that we're going to have a glorified body one of these days. This corruptible. This body's falling apart. Amen. I mentioned, I guess in the first week, I mentioned about these doctors inventing all these life-preserving things and life-extending things, and then they die. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Amen. So death is coming. Death is coming. This body is going to fall apart. Prop it up all we want to. And I'm not against you propping it up. I'm for staying here as long as we can stay here. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm also saying don't lose hope. When this body lays down, God's got us another body. Amen. When this tabernacle is folded up, when this tent is folded up, God's got us another building built. Amen. And I'm glad that's true. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Go back there just a minute. I hope I wrote that down right. Yep, that's right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. When we see Him face to face and we are made in His likeness. Amen. When we see not through this glass darkly, not, you know, as we can just see shadows and shapes and get glimpses of ideas. No, but we see it face to face, and then we're going to realize we'll know. He said we will know as we're known. What does that mean? How does God know us? He knows all about us. That means one of these days we're going to know all about it. That song says we'll understand it better by and by. There's another one that says farther along we'll know all about it. I think that's exactly right. Amen. Here's the way I see it, and I believe this is right. When we get to heaven, everything that matters will be known. Now, there's a lot of things that we wish we knew now, but it ain't going to matter when we get to glory. Isn't that right? I think that's exactly right. So everything that matters will be known when we get to glory. And those other things, they'll be all right that they've passed away. By the way, that's what Revelation 21:4 says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a day that'll be when all those former things are passed away. Amen. Amen. So in heaven, we'll not only be with Jesus, we'll be like Him. Number two, in heaven we will enjoy eternity with God in Christ Jesus. Eternity with God. Amen. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 16. You probably know this psalm, but it'd be good to see it. I've quoted it in a message recently. Not about this one, but in Hebrews where it's talking about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Psalm 16, verse 11, talks about the right hand of God. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, that's where we'll be in glory. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen and amen. You know what he's saying there? In heaven, we'll be in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. You've experienced this. You've been in church, for example, maybe, and this can happen, it don't have to be in church, but it does happen in church once in a while, that you're in there and your cup runs over. Right? Your cup gets full till it can't hold anymore and it runs out. And they wrote a song about it, getting in my saucer, and I'm drinking. Miss Hall sang that, drinking out of my saucer. Amen. But in heaven, there'll be joy, and we'll be able to contain it, but we'll also be able to express it in a way we never could do down here. Amen. Amen. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. But when we get to heaven, we'll be able to talk about it. We'll be able to say something about it in a better way than we can now. We'll be able to praise Him more perfectly and more purely when we get to heaven. Amen. I love to see people get happy in the Lord. I love to see them weeping. Amen. Love to see them laughing. Yeah. I love to see people running. I've seen them run with the joy of the Lord. I tell you what, I ain't never liked to see somebody running and looking back and see if anybody's looking. Right. Or getting their cell phone out so they can take a picture of themselves running. I never have liked that. You know why? Because that's just flesh. But in heaven won't be any of that. In heaven we'll be able to run with no holds barred. Amen. That's right. We'll be able to shout with no holds barred. Amen. Heaven, we'll be able to rejoice with fullness of joy. He talked about at thy right hand is fullness of joy. Amen. Amen. So, let me think about that. Stay in Psalm. I'm going to mark mine right here and go back to Psalm. All right. Psalm 23. I put this in a bulletin for this morning. With Psalm 23, verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. The psalmist has been talking about what life is like with Jesus as your shepherd. I mean, I could read the whole thing and we could rejoice on every bit of it. But it crescendos. It reaches a climax in verse number 6. After talking about all these good things that we have with Jesus as our shepherd, then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And there's that colon there. It says, this, I could stop there. But there's another sentence attached to it that makes this one mean even more. When this life's over, here's what he said. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You remember Moses longed to see the glory of God? You remember that? Moses knew something. He saw him who is invisible, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses had a longing for God. Moses talked with God, and God talked with Moses, but Moses longed to see his glory. And God said, Moses, you can't see my glory and live. This body couldn't contain it. This body couldn't stand it. And so he just showed him his goodness. He let his goodness pass by. I'm telling you, as great as his goodness is, I just can't wait to see his glory. Amen. But I'm thinking about how Moses longed to see the glory of God. David longed to see the glory of God. And when David's thinking about life and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's thinking about how great it is to have God in your life. He's thinking about how great it is to have God watching over you, to have God providing for you, to have God protecting you, to have God preparing a place for you, to have God leading you along throughout life. He's thinking about, oh, how great it is. But he said, you know what's going to be best is even when I get to the end, oh yeah, he said, goodness and mercy going to follow me all the days of my life. But when that's over, I'm going to get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, my blessing of heaven is that I'm going to be with God forever and ever. Amen. He said something else about that in Psalm 27, verse 4, dealing with his innermost desire. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. David had a longing to be with God. He talks about the house of the Lord, and I don't think he's just talking about the temple. The temple hadn't even been built. I don't think he was talking about the tabernacle. I know they had the tabernacle. I think he's talking about heaven. I want to be with God forever and ever. Amen. Then Psalm 84, turn over there. He's talking about the house here as well. Psalm 84. And I've preached from this psalm at least a couple of times. I love that very first verse. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He didn't just want to be in a house. He wanted God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Look at verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be still praising thee. And then that word Selah means, think on that. Not only blessed are they that get to go, but they that dwell in the house of the Lord. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all forever. And he talked about that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire into his temple. This dwelling in the house of God, he's talking about being in heaven with God forever and ever. That is the longing of the redeemed soul. Amen. Now, the lost man can be happy with riches until he gets some, and then he's still not happy. He wants a little more. The lost man can be happy with sin until he gets some of it, and then he wants a little more. The lost man can be satisfied, if I could say it this way, use this this analogy, the lost man could be satisfied with hog slop. But a child of God is longing for something better. Child of God is longing for eternity in heaven with God. Psalm 84 verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. Amen. So David is displaying his heart in these verses. Amen. No doubt David enjoyed the presence of God while on earth, but his desire was to enjoy, can I say his desire, that earthly desire, was dwarfed by his desire to be with God in glory. Amen. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. You've been there, haven't you? When it's church time, just praise God. Or it's revival meeting, praise God. You get excited about, but it ain't just meeting at the house of God. We really want God to be there. Amen. And that's why when the trumpet sounds, listen to me, some of you ain't going to believe this. When the trumpet sounds, there's people going to shout that ain't never shouted a day in their life. We're going up not with a pout. We're not looking back at the world and saying, oh, I wish I could hang on to. No, we're saying goodbye, world, goodbye. And we'll say, glory to God, I'm glad it's time to go. Like that old song that I talked about, it's in the church hymnal, I've been waiting, Lord, to go. They said that song was written by a woman that was the oldest woman living at the time she wrote that verse. She'd been waiting all those years, but she is waiting for the time the Lord would call her to go home. Amen. So David had a desire to be with God, that eternal home. I believe that's true for every saint. Amen. Amen. When we encounter the presence of God down here, we're blessed. But we long to be with him. We don't ever want it to end. Amen. One of the things about camp, like you go there, they camped on the property, and so you got all this going on. When it's the last day, everybody's walking around sad, pooch-lipped, because we didn't want to leave. People want to be able to stay right together. We experience that, don't we? We do that in our jubilee. Right, missions conference. We hate to see it in. It comes so fast, and then it's gone so fast. We long for it to hang on. Well, being with God is going to be so much better than just being with people. Amen. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter, chapter 1. We long to be with God in an encounter that will never end. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll start with verse 3. 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? An incorruptible inheritance. And undefiled. And that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, people say, well, I hope to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I long to go to heaven. I just hope I don't lose it before I get there. He said, we're kept. We're kept. We're not kept by the power of our works. We're kept by the power of God. But we ought to have a longing for heaven. When he talks about heaven there, you think about a place where there'll be no more tears. Amen. You think about a place where it'll be all joy. You think about a place where there'll be a reuniting with our lost loved ones. When I say lost, our loved ones that have gone on. You understand what I mean? Be a place where we get to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll get to talk to Paul and Apollos and find out which one of them wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen. We'll get to talk with the saints of old and enjoy heaven forever. But I'm going to tell you the greatest thing of it all is that we'll be with God. Amen. There's that song that says, don't look neath the gates of pearl. And don't look near the walls of jasper. Don't look down the street of gold, but look for me at Jesus' feet. Amen. I think that's right. First Thessalonians, and I'm winding her down. First Thessalonians, chapter number 4. A lot said in First Thessalonians about the rapture and all that. I just want to deal with this a little bit right here. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Brother Sammy Allen, in preaching on this, he brought out something that I'd never seen. He talks about how the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. He said there's going to be a reunion in heaven, a reunion in the clouds. In that resurrection, God's going to let us reunite with some of our loved ones that have gone on before us. Amen. Before we ever get to Him, we're going to get to be with them for at least a moment. Now, there's that coming together. And then He said, all right, look at it again. Read it together. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Look at this. To meet the Lord. Amen. Not just to meet each other. I do hope to see Grandma, but Grandma ain't going to outshine Jesus. Amen. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then that phrase, and so shall we ever be with one another? No, with the Lord. And we be with one another. We'll be with one another, but there'll be no marrying and giving in marriage and all that in heaven. We'll be more like the angels, he said. What do angels do? They worship Jesus. They worship God on the throne. Amen. Amen. So, in conclusion, let me say it this way. I've tried with my limited vocabulary, my limited ability to describe and point out, I believe there are limitless blessings of heaven. I've just touched the surface, but I believe these are the greatest. Be with Jesus and be like Him, and be with God the Father forever and ever. Amen. Amen. A lot of things I left unmentioned. A lot of things. But wouldn't you agree with me that when we get to heaven, those that go to heaven will be infinitely and eternally blessed? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, or who die in the Lord. Amen. If you're going to be with the Lord, you're at rest with Jesus. You used to see that on the backs of tombstones and cemeteries. They'd put that on there all the time. At rest with Jesus. Amen. Now they got crazy things like riding that big racetrack in the sky. Ain't no big racetrack in the sky. Right? Okay. But at rest with Jesus, at peace, together again. All those things are wonderful. Amen. Let me get you to turn to one more text. This is familiar and you could quote it, but John chapter 10, verse number 10. I'll read you that and I'm gonna close with this thought. Those that go to heaven will be infinitely and eternally blessed. But those that miss heaven will be infinitely and eternally damned. And I don't use that word lightly. John chapter 10, words of our Lord Jesus, talking about the good shepherd in that context. In verse 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. If heaven's wonderful, the opposite must be true, that hell is horrible. If heaven is with Jesus, hell is without Him. If heaven's with God, hell is without Him. If heaven is full of joy, hell is full of sorrow. Jesus said, there's a thief come, and then I've come. Now, which one are you going to accept? You going to let the thief steal your opportunity to be saved and go to heaven? You going to let the thief steal your time and steal your mind and steal your energy and steal your life? Or are you going to trust God and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I wonder, have you called on Jesus for salvation? Are you ready to meet Him in eternity? Those that are saved ought to rejoice that we're going to heaven because of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God we've tried to preach this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the goodness of the Lord and the presence of the Lord in our midst. And Lord, I want to thank you for the promise that we have in the Scripture. Not just that heaven's our home, but that heaven is for whosoever will. There's a door to heaven, and that door is Jesus. There's a way to heaven, and that way is Jesus. Lord, I pray that sinners would run to Jesus before it's too late, and that saints would testify of you, and that we'd rejoice in Jesus as we ought. Lord, I pray blessed in this invitation time, and have your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.